What do those three things have in common?
Pins, watches, and a golden axe.
They are common forms of awards, are they not? You say a golden axe. Well, if you're in a fire company and you're in there long enough, then you are given a golden axe. If you have worked for a number of years for a company, you may be rewarded or awarded a golden watch. If you serve for 5 years, you get a pin. If you serve for 10, you get another pin. You serve for 15, you'll get another pin. And so on it goes. Our world has lots of ways of awarding and rewarding people. And I want us this morning to think about this. If you were in Awana the other night, and I believe that 21 of you were, if I counted correctly, then you may have heard this. But I expand upon it greatly from Wednesday night, as I want us to think this morning about awards and rewards. Awards and rewards. And I want you to think this morning with me about how why man rewards people. First of all, we tend to be people who work. That's what God had called us to do, did he not? He told us that we are to work, and he told us that we are to be diligent in our jobs. And sooner or later, I'm going to find my notes, but as I'm looking here, we are also rewarded for good attitudes. Who do you like to have working around you? People that have good attitudes. Anybody enjoy a grump or a grouch or a troublemaker? I don't know about you, but I have seen both kinds of people out there in the world. Having worked in the world off and on all my life, as well as pastoring, I recognize that there are all kinds of personalities in this world. But I also know that we like people who have good attitudes. And then people are rewarded for faithfulness. And you know that someday you're going to hear from the Lord. I hope you will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Father." And so we can be rewarded sometimes for faithfulness. And then sometimes we're just given things to encourage us. We may not have earned it as much as we would like to think, but we do give things to encourage people. Amen? And so it can be something simple. It can be a word. It can be a little certificate of achievement as we give out to children in school or so forth. Certainly, when you get praise, it rewards you, but it also encourages you. And then sometimes rewards are given to challenge others to do better. And we say so-and-so got this because they did an excellent job. And that is said to encourage you to do an excellent job. But I want to talk today about gods. God's awards and rewards. Now, what in the world is a reward? A reward is something that you earn. Award, you may not earn it, but it's recognition. So there is a difference between an award and a reward, at least as I want to use that idea with you this morning. God's gifts are not earned. Now, I'm going to make a distinction here, as you will see. Then we're going to talk about God's rewards. They are earned. But first of all, God's gifts are not earned. Salvation is not earned. You cannot earn your salvation. Going to church every Sunday is not going to get you salvation or heaven. Do you understand that? You say, "Fine, I don't have to come to church anymore." Hold the phone. Church attendance is commanded not to get to heaven, but to please the Lord who bought you with salvation. Church attendance is something God told us to do. He said, "Don't forsake assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is." And we know who they are, don't we? But that's not how you get to heaven. You get to heaven by receiving the gift of salvation. What does it say in Romans chapter 6, verse 23? The wages or the payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so God gives us salvation as a gift. Secondly, God gives us eternal life as a gift. You say, what's the difference? Salvation is God delivering us from our sin and God forgiving us. Eternal life is something God gives us, and it has two aspects. One is quality, one is quantity. You've heard me say this many times. Quality of life is we get God's kind of life put within us. Eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. But we also get quantity. We're going to live with Him forever. Everlasting life, eternal life. And then heaven is a gift. Heaven is a gift. You can't earn heaven, but it's a gift that God puts in the package of salvation. And I don't think any of us comprehend how great that thought is, that someday we're going to live with God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and all the angels and all the saints forever in heaven. Wow, what a gift. Well, let's talk about God's rewards. They are earned. And I want for us to turn this morning in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I know I'm going very fast because I have 7 more minutes to speak, and I'm sure not done in that length of time. But first, or Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, how do you lay up treasures in heaven? Well, turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we find out how you lay up treasures in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading by at verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. The Apostle Paul says that we apostles are the foundation of the church, and you be careful how you build on that which you have received from us. Now, how in the world did we receive from Paul and the other apostles? Because they wrote it down. God preserved His Word. I could preach a whole message on God's preservation of His Word. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, and around verse 18 or 19, it says that Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation built up of the apostles and prophets, and then we build on that, and we have been now for over 1,900 years. Verse 12, now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a what? What endures fire? He goes on and tells us. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, go back and ask yourself, what endures when everything in your life is tested and tried by fire? Only that which is done for Christ will last. And you maybe have heard that little chorus, only what's done for Christ will last. And what is it? It amounts to that which is gold, silver, and precious stone. I don't mean your gold. I don't mean your silver or your jewelry. I'm talking about the quality of the work that you have done for Jesus Christ. He says some of it amounts to gold, silver, and precious stone. That will endure a fire. What gets burned up? That which amounts to wood and straw, wood, hay, and stubble. That gets burned up. Those are the things you and I have done in our life that are absolutely worthless in relation to heaven. So lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break it through and steal. I love what it says in that little verse over in 2 John. You say, where in the world is that? Well, it's only about one page big. It's only one chapter. And it's in the back of your Bible just before Jude. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. But in 2 John in verse 8, listen to these words. Look to yourself that you do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. The more that you and I do for Jesus Christ in our life that amounts to gold, silver, and precious stone, the more rewards we're going to have in heaven. The more we're going to have in glory, in other words. All of those verses speak to that, but let me quickly run through this. Notice the time of his reward. We read it this morning in Scripture. He says, surely I come quickly. Now you say, wait a minute. That's over 1,900 years ago he said that, and he ain't here yet. Do you suppose the word quickly has to do with the speed with which he will come, not the time element of when he comes? I think so. Why? Because that fits with what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Right? In the moment, at the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet call. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. I blended two passages together, didn't I? I put 1 Corinthians 15:51, 52, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 to 17 together, because that gives you the fullness of that picture of how suddenly he's going to come back and he's going to get us. But notice what it says. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. And then there are the kinds of his rewards. And with this, I'm going to fly through these. Many of you have heard about crowns. Here are all the references in Scripture to crowns. The first crown is called the crown of joy. The second crown is called the crown of righteousness. The third one is called the crown of, it'll get there, of life. And then the crown of glory. And finally, there's one called the imperishable or incorruptible crown. And I'm not sure what all of these things mean, nor is anyone else. But those are the five places in the New Testament where it talks about our crowns. A crown of joy, a crown of righteousness. I do know what that one says. That one says, it is given to those who have loved His appearing. That's the verse of the month in the middle of your bulletin this morning. Those who have loved His appearing or longed for His appearing. Are you looking for Jesus? You're going to get a crown for that. Is it on your mind every day? You're going to get a crown for that, for expecting. I'm not sure what those other ones mean. They're just little snippets stuck in the scripture there. What in the world does James mean that we're going to get a crown of life? I'm not sure. And no, nor is anyone else positive. But those are the five times that you and